interview, at least for the author, when the interviewers actually read the book.
You're such a good interviewer, my gosh.
You really made me think. You really read the book.
Yeah.
No other interviewer has really gotten into that. You really brought out some really great points.
Greg Berg holds the morning show weekdays after the 8 o'clock news, only on WGTD. Attention all Facebook users, you're invited to click like WGTD for breaking news, photos, station program information, links to archives, and to interact with WGTD employees and listeners. The page is available to non-Facebook subscribers as well.
You're listening to Technology Matters, a show for the casual computer and gadget user that airs the second Saturday of every month. It's hosted by Gateway IT instructor Christine Lazaro and Gateway IT graduate Dave Snedeker.
Good morning, everyone. A couple of fun things for today's show, and then some just little bits and pieces, depending on time permitting. The first thing I wanted to talk about this week, Thursday, in fact, was the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. And as any good Trekkie knows, a lot of today's technology was, in fact, inspired by the show, both the original and the Next Generation. To commemorate that 50th anniversary, or maybe just because they thought it was a good idea, there's a website called ThinkGeek. And if you haven't been there already, it's thinkgeek.com. Great for gift buying for the geek in all of you. But ThinkGeek is announcing a Star Trek Next Generation inspired Bluetooth comm badge. It is licensed by Paramount, and so it looks exactly like the real thing. Basically what it'll do is, using Bluetooth, it'll connect to your phone, and so you can use this little comm badge attached to your shirt. It uses a magnet to attach to your shirt, no pinning or anything like that, but you can use it to interact with your smartphone. When you press on it, it makes the corresponding little click noise. It does have a speaker and a mic and speaker. It charges with a micro USB, and when it's charged, you get about 10 hours of battery life. If you've got a Star Trek Next Generation geek in the family, by the way, they're taking pre-orders right now. It's expected to ship in November, just in time for Christmas, and it sells for $79.99. If the original show is more your style, in other words, the original Star Trek, they also have an original communicator that does the same thing, Bluetooth to your smartphone. But this one you flip up, to communicate with, sells for $149.99. Both of them not only can be used to make calls and answer calls, but you can also listen to music from your smartphone if you have some stored, or if you use the Pandora app, you can listen through that. One of those kitschy, geeky things, but I thought that was kind of cool. So keep that on your Christmas list if you have Star Trek geeks in the family. The next thing that I wanted to talk about, the topic itself was actually inspired by my niece. She knows I'm a gadget freak, and I have all kinds of little gadgets sitting in the house that I buy and use for a little bit and then don't always use. And you may recall, I think it was late last year, maybe early this spring, I bought a Windows tablet, the Toshiba Encore Write 2, in an 8-inch, and I really liked it, but I found that, truthfully, that 8-inch with a Windows device was actually a little small, which is why I love my new Android one. But one of the things I really loved with the Encore 2 Write was it came with an active stylus, and that active stylus was really responsive for taking notes and, I don't draw, but, it worked for drawing and things like that. And it worked really well. So she wanted to look at it because she was thinking that she would like something that had an active stylus, a tablet with an active stylus, little thing she could pop in her purse. So she asked if she could look at it because she was thinking of buying one. And because I wasn't really actively using it, I let her borrow it. But it did get me to thinking about, you know, doing a little research and looking to see what was out there. Interestingly, the Toshiba no longer carries or makes the Encore 2 Write. You can still find it on Amazon and, you know, some aftermarket sellers, but, you know, it's just cleaning out the stock. And out of the box, the Encore 2 Write came with Windows 8.1. I did upgrade mine to 10, and I will admit that it got a little glitchy after I upgraded it. I never went to the Toshiba site to get any update the drivers or anything. I just you know, didn't ever get around to it or anything like that. But I started looking at tablets that come with an active stylus support in all the different flavors, Android, Windows, and even the Apple products. And interestingly, there aren't a whole lot out there anymore in that in that 8-inch size, there's only a couple of them, one of them being from HP. And I'm not going to run out and buy it, obviously, but I will tell you that HP one does not have very good reviews. And so then I stepped up to the 10-inch, and even there's not a whole lot. There is the one that I own, the Dell Venue 10 Pro. There's a Lenovo Yoga, and obviously the Microsoft Surface. But now you're starting to step up into the 12-inch, and when you start getting into that 12-inch, you're starting to get a little clunky for, you know, holding with one single hand, carrying in the purse. You know, it's still not impossible, but, you know, but 8-inch is kind of the ideal size. 10-inch isn't bad. You can put it in a folio, leather-bound folio, and carry it with you. So 10-inch isn't bad. So maybe I'll look at, you know, a 10-inch, tablet for myself and explore it. But again, it, you know, did get me thinking, you know, about that, you know, kind of size and, you know, what's going on there. Now, Christmas is right around the corner, and right after Christmas comes CES. So maybe, you know, the big manufacturers, the Toshibas, the Lenovos, et cetera, you know, are kind of, maybe they've got something in the works. I didn't see any rumors or anything when I was looking into this, but who knows. But because I couldn't find a, you know, what looked like an investable tablet other than the Surface, and it does seem like Microsoft's got kind of a lock on that when you're talking about, you know, a tablet with an active stylus. It seems like Microsoft is, you know, right now, you know, got that market. As I said, you know, there's some others. And the Dell Venue Pro, you know, being the 10-inch, it's not a bad, you know, it's not a bad tablet, and it does come with a detachable keyboard. It's just a little bit heavier than, you know, than I like. You know, that was kind of nice about the Toshiba in the 8-inch. It was fairly light, and you could hold it one-handed. The Dell, you know, really isn't that light. And so, you know, it's all in what you're looking for. Now, Toshiba does have a new one called a DynaPad, and it's a 12-inch. And it is supposed to be light, but when you're talking 10-inch and you're, or 12-inch, I'm sorry, 12-inches, oh, God, I can just hear you all starting to think about all of the nasty, you know, innuendo things, but don't go that way, okay? So anyway, when you're talking about a 12-inch tablet, even if it's light, it's still big and kind of chunky. So, you know, what's that perfect size when you're talking about a tablet for, you know, reading and jotting down notes and carrying with you? You know, lightness is, you know, obviously something that you want to look for, but then you have to think about, you know, how does it feel holding it in the hand? Does it need one hand or two hands? So anyway, that's the tablet size side of things. But because I couldn't find a interesting looking tablet, something worth exploring more, I thought, well, let's just take a look at, you know, stylus, styli, you know, which would be the pin. So that's what I'm going to kind of talk about a little bit more is, you know, stylized choices and what's out there. So the first thing that I need to clarify or make really clear is in order to use an active stylus, the tablet itself has to have that digitizer capability. And that's where we're looking at those things like the Dell Venue 10 Pro, the Lenovo Yoga. So any tablet, whether it's a convertible, you know, whatever it is, if it already comes with a pen, even if you have to buy the pen separately, then that tablet has a digitizer, meaning it's pen enabled. So, you know, that's the key. So once you have that capability, then what are your pen choices? Obviously, the company itself has a pen. But if the pen itself that comes with it, so for example, back when I had my Samsung Note 3, which was one of the first phablets, you know, it was a smartphone, but it was, you know, pretty good sized. And so, you know, people would look at it and say, geez, that's the size of a tablet. And that's where the phablet term came from, you know, phone and tablet. So anyway, Samsung, when they came out with that, they used what was called an S Pen. And the S Pen was extremely responsive, very, very good clarity, but it was really skinny and small and didn't have a good feel in the hand. Now, granted, you know, the Note 2 wasn't that big. So, you know, to try to use a ballpoint size pen with it would have been a little bit, you know, incongruous, you know, kind of like, you know, just would have been clunky-ish. And Samsung itself is coming out with some newer technologies. But when I started looking at aftermarket styli, if you will, one of the things I found was from Wacom. Wacom has been in that active stylus market for a long, long time. Artists typically love Wacom products. They think they're some of the most, you know, responsive. And of course, Wacom makes its own, not tablets, but digitizer pads, if you will. So Wacom has come out with a new product called the Bamboo Smart. And I might have mentioned it when I was doing the CES recap for this year, but it's worth revisiting since I'm on this stylus kick. So the Wacom Bamboo Smart, they have them for selected Galaxy products, Galaxy Notes and Galaxy Tabs, and then some of the pen-enabled Windows tablets. Again, the aforementioned Dell Venue Pro, blah, blah, blah. What's interesting about the Bamboo Smart is it's using a new technology for Wacom called AES, which is Active Electrostatic Solution, versus Wacom's previous technology, which was known as EMR, or electromagnetic resistance. And the basic difference between the two, other than, you know, capabilities and all of that, but one way you can tell AES versus an EMR, the EMR styli don't typically require a battery, where the AESs do require a battery. And the other interesting thing is there's another stylus manufacturer out there called Entrig. Microsoft bought Entrig earlier this year, and Entrig styli used required a battery, where the Wacom-based ones didn't. And so the S Pen was based off of the Wacom technology. So that's why the Bamboo Smart, even though it has the AES technology, will work with some of those older EMR-based ones because it was Wacom, okay? What's interesting about the new Bamboo Smart is it has buttons on the side, and those buttons are programmable. Usually the buttons were pre-programmed. You know, one button might be for a right click and the other one might be for erase, but now you can program them so that one could be a double click and one could be a right click or whatever you used more frequently. the other interesting thing in looking at all of this is that the kind of the goal with this is, if the tablet is already using that Wacom-based technology, this is more universal in that you don't have to go back to the original manufacturer. And that, to me, is a plus. In fact, I will probably buy one because I have the Dell Venue 10 Pro. And the stylus for the Dell Venue 10 Pro that came from Dell, well, it wasn't all that great. So I would be curious to see if this one is an improvement over that. Then the other interesting thing about this whole Wacom is that Wacom and Microsoft are now in partnership to make what they're calling a duo pin, meaning it will work with the Surface because it will support the Entrig technology, but it will also support the Wacom devices. So if you have both a Surface and, another tablet, then it'll work with both. And this is awesome because it means that they're recognizing that there is a market out there. There are people that want the stylus, to use with their tablets, but they don't want to be tied to, necessarily their manufacturer's limitations. And so this is bringing to the world of tablets this universal pen technology. Now, it'll be kind of that Windows and Android sort of device kind of thing, but it'll be that nice little crossover. It's just kind of an interesting world. And, what's really the most interesting about it is anytime there's this kind of new technology, and I'm going to go back to music with this. If anybody remembers way back when music started first becoming digital, there were all kinds of formats, but they were vendor specific. You had Windows had theirs with the WMA, and, Apple had theirs, and then you had the MP3, and it wasn't until everybody started supporting MP3s that digital music really took off, because now an MP3 will work with any player. Otherwise, if you had this format, you had to get this player, and if you had this format, you had to get that player. There was Real Player. There were all these different players with their own formats, and if your music came in that format, you had to download. So I can remember having 5 and 6 different music players on my computer because of all the different formats and MP3s. And every time, and then once all of the players started supporting MP3, it made it much more easier to use. Ebooks have kind of the same sort of drawback, because you have the different vendor-specific technologies. And I think that does limit, not so much from the ebook one, because we've, gotten used to it, and of course you've got the Amazon Kindle app on all the devices and the Barnes & Noble Nook app for all of the devices. But from an e-textbook kind of arena, I think this is a kind of a drawback, because the textbook publishers themselves are still wanting to cling to that ownership. Although there is a website out there called Vital Source. I may have mentioned it before, but if you are an e-textbook person, definitely check out Vital Source. It's the rare textbook that's out there that I have that's not available. If it's available as an e-textbook, there's a good chance that Vital Source has got it. So it's worth checking out if you're an e-textbook person. Checking out their app and everything. But anyway, I digress. Getting back to the styli world. So the other interesting thing is, and I'm not an Apple person, so this has been out for a while. I hadn't talked about it because, again, I'm not an Apple person, but in looking at styli things, I, discovered the Apple Pencil, which works with the iPad. And it's also very interesting because Steve Jobs said a long time ago, who wants a stylus? Well, at the time, the touch technology, was a little bit different. And now it has evolved to where I think even Steve Jobs would say, yeah, a stylus is great on the iPad. So, I don't think he's rolling over in his grave now that you know, iPads support a stylus. And the Apple Pencil is a little bit unique compared to, you know, the Intrig and the Wacom-based in that the Apple Pencil is Bluetooth-based. But what's significant about it, especially for artists, is it uses what's called angle detection, which allows for your thicker lines. Think about, you know, drawing with a pencil, you know, and that's why it's a pencil. You know, think about when you draw, back when you were drawing with a pencil and you could kind of like slant your pencil a little bit and, you know, get that thicker line with the lead. Well, that's the idea behind the Apple Pencil. The other active stylus, they use pressure detection. The harder you press, the thicker the line. Although Wacom did say that they are looking to do angle detection with their, you know, new stylus. In other words, they're looking to support that angle detection as well. So, you know, the iPad, iPhone, et cetera, you know, can now use a stylus with the Apple Pencil. So, you know, then of course, you know, that's all device specific, especially the, you know, Wacom and the Wacom Bamboo Smart and, you know, the Intrig, which now Microsoft owns, all require that digitizer. In other words, the tablet has to have in and of itself that digitizing technology. So, but what if you have a tablet touchscreen device that doesn't have the digitizer? Then what do you use? Well, you know, obviously there's those spongy tipped things, you know, that are kind of nice if it's the middle of winter and you're outside and you don't want to take your gloves off. But the spongy device is, you know, nothing really better than your finger. You know, it's just a little bit more accurate because it's a little smaller, you know, so if you've got, you know, fat fingers or, you know, long nails, the spongy device can be really, really great. If you've got that Bluetooth iPad thing, there's a aftermarket device called the Pencil by 53, which claims that it's actually even more accurate than the Apple Pencil and has some additional features. There's also, you know, but again, that's the iPad thing. There's a couple of other ones. There's a stylus from Dagi, D-A-G-I, that, again, does not require a digitizer, but has a bit more accuracy than the spongy-tipped one. And then one I've talked about before that's, you know, been improving is the Adonit, A-D-O-N-I-T, Jot Pro. And the Jot Pro is kind of interesting because it has a little plastic disc to simulate the finger, but it's got kind of almost a ballpoint to get a little bit more accuracy. Now, it's not going to support the things that an active digitizer will with the pressure sensitivity and all of that. It's really just trying to make a finger touch more accurate. You know, we've all, you know, this is a technology that we're all, you know, that a lot of vendors are using now. If you go to like the Renaissance Fair and they use this, you know, you use a credit card, they have you sign with your finger, makes for sloppy signatures kind of thing. But it's trying to get a little bit more accuracy than just a finger. So that's kind of, you know, the latest on the tablet and stylus world. So a couple of other, these are just little quickie things. The FAA is warning flyers not to use the Galaxy 7 on planes, and certainly don't stow it in your baggage, because the Galaxy 7, the Samsung Galaxy 7, has been known to catch fire with batteries exploding. Samsung is now, you know, they're, you know, apologizing profusely, and they're exchanging the Galaxy 7s for an S7. You know, again, it's that problem with the lithium batteries. You know, they run hot, and they get hot enough, you know, they can explode. Another little one-liner, so to speak, Mario from Nintendo is coming to the App Store for, you know, those with Apple devices in December. It'll be available, and for the Android, it won't be far behind, but they're looking at the App Store. You know, Pokemon was such a big hit with everyone that that Nintendo has said, okay, well, let's do Mario. So that's coming to the App Store. Speaking of Nintendo, they're coming out with a new game console. Currently, it's named Nintendo NX. Very, very few details out there. Lots and lots of rumors. It's scheduled to come out in March 2017, and more details are supposed to be released in early October. One of the rumors is that they're going back to cartridges rather than discs. As I said, lots of rumors flying on that. One of the speculations why Nintendo is being sort of kind of cagey with releasing any details is both PlayStation and Microsoft are coming out with new consoles, and Nintendo is kind of waiting to see how the market receives some of the new things that are coming with the PlayStation and the Xbox, and, you know, then say, well, people are really liking this, so maybe we need to incorporate that, or yeah, that wasn't too popular, so let's stay away from that kind of thing. So October show, you know, if October show coincides with the Nintendo press releases on the NX, then we'll incorporate that into October show, but definitely for November. Now, of course, the NX scheduled for a March release will be too late for Christmas, but the new PlayStation and the new Xbox, those will be Christmas releases. So it'll be kind of a interesting thing. And as you all know, you know, that time of year, we start talking about, you know, Christmas gifts. So we'll be sure to mention those things. Last but not least, time permitting, I want to talk about the new iPhone 7. You know, we already knew it was not a secret that the iPhone 7 was not going to come with a headphone jack. And when we talk about headphone jack, we're talking about that 3.5 millimeter kind. So what do you do if you're an iPhone 7 person, or if you're an iPhone person and you buy the latest and the greatest and you bought that iPhone 7? Well, the iPhone 7, interestingly, only comes with one jack, which is the Lightning jack. Limits you if you're you know, some of us charge and still use our, you know, our smartphone, but you only have the one jack, and that's the Lightning, and there are Lightning headphones out there. What's interesting about the Lightning headphones is they are true digital quality audio as opposed to analog audio, which you get with the 3.5 millimeter. The digital headphones, if it's a headphone, it'll set you back anywhere from $200 to $700. Ouch. Earbuds you can get for $50 to $200, but again, you've got that only single Lightning port, so listen or charge. Otherwise, look to Bluetooth wireless. Been out for quite a while. One of the nice ones is a Smart Ami Boots Bluetooth earbuds in ear. With microphone for the iPhone 7. They're waterproof, so great for exercising, sports, things like that. $73 on Amazon. Reviews are pretty good. Everybody says sound quality is great, but there were those who complained about connection issues. Interestingly, those that complained about connection issues, company replaced them, and then a lot of them came back and updated and said, oh, it works great now. It's an interesting kind of a thing because you pair the one earbud and to your phone, then you pair the other earbud to the previous earbud. They looked a little clunky. It's not your typical real tiny earbud. But they have great noise canceling apparently. Now, they're not the only ones. There's actually quite a few Bluetooth wireless headphones and earbuds out there. But that was one that was kind of earmarked for the iPhone 7, and the fact that it's waterproof, you know, makes it great for, you know, running and things like that. So check them out if you've got the new iPhone 7 or you're planning on getting the iPhone 7. So that's all the time that we have for today. But everybody have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next month. Take care, everyone.
You've been listening to Technology Matters with hosts Christine Lazzaro and Dave Snedeker.